Everyone, good morning. Welcome back to St. Paul's here in Plato. It's good to see all of you this morning. Will you please start the day by offering each other a little gift of peace? All right, we were going to start today with any announcements or joys or concerns. Do we have any to add to the list? Okay, we will definitely pray for Rich today. Rich, right?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Any others?
A joy.
A joy, let's hear it. All right, thank you. Joel, you said correct? Anybody else? Okay, a reminder that we do have the annual meeting today after service. There will be coffee and some treats right outside after service. If you want to grab those and fill up a cup, then come back in. And I've been urged to have you sit towards the front for the meeting today. And remember, that'll be right after service. Also, if you are interested, tonight online there is going to be a meeting called the National Faith Call to Action. Some clergy leaders of the United States, including our General Minister for the UCC National, Karen Georgia Thompson, will be leading a call. If you are interested in that, there is information on the UCC's, National UCC's social media and website. You can sign up for it and join in if you are willing and wanting to hear what they are calling to action in our nation. And can we please start today with a moment of prayer, specifically for Renee Good and Alex Preddy, who have recently lost their lives in the conflicts in Minnesota. Will you please bow your heads and pray with me in silence for a minute for Renee and Alex? Dear God, we know you give us the power to do what is right, that there will be no lightning bolts striking down oppressors, that it is incumbent that we find our strength and our resolve through you and be the catalyst for the change we seek. Help us, Lord, to raise up our voices and not just speak out against injustice, but also seek peaceful action to change the world. Today, Lord, it is hard to shine with the weight of all the oppression in our world, but help us flicker and help us keep our flames alive. In Jesus' name, we ask your help. Amen. Will you please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin? For God alone, our souls wait in silence. Our hope is from God, our fortress. Trust in God at all times, in all places. Pour our hearts out to the one who hears. Worship God who is ready to speak to us. Open your lives to God's steadfast love. Please join us in singing hymn number 415, We Are Called to Be God's People. Join in the prayer of invocation. We await your message, God of all places and times. Sometimes we do not like what we hear, but we know we need to listen. Your message is inclusive and fair, while we like to make distinctions that favor us and our friends. To do new things and try better ways. You direct us to reach out to people with whom we seem to have little in common. Speak your truth to us in this service so we can carry it to the places where you want us to go, to the people you are eager to reach. Amen. Spirit, we ask you to enter this place with us today. Lord, wrap your spirit around us. Remind us that through your Son, Jesus Christ, We have been given for all sin, forgiven for all sins. Lord, we ask you to protect us and to keep us and to remind us to follow your light in all of our days. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading today is Psalms 27, 1 through 9. Triumphant Song of Confidence of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Oh, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Our second reading today is Matthew 4, verses 12 through 17. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
Thank you, Peggy, for those words from our scriptures today. And for the reminder that even Jesus sometimes had to retreat or withdraw from tension-filled places and find some rest and regroup, which is what so many of us are doing this week. For those of you who weren't here last week, my name is Becky Bartholomew. And I live in Hutchinson, where I attend New Journey United Church of Christ. And I am also a member in discernment and seminarian who is working towards ordainment with the United Church of Christ. It is definitely my pleasure to help fill in for Pastor Brian while he is gone, getting his own rest and respite down south. Now, last week I told some of you that I was an English teacher before making this change in my life for over 20 years. And as a young English major, I took Shakespeare class with a professor named Noreen Braun, a woman who knew Shakespeare inside and out. And she knew how to challenge her students. She got us to spend hours learning to trust our understanding of the centuries-old language we were studying. She led my classmates and I through the history of Shakespeare's times, through his political navigations of kings and queens of England, through the trials and tribulations of a playwright and actor living on the road, making the living the only way he knew he could, supporting his family by being away from them and away from his home. We learned the value of Shakespeare's witty turns of phrase and his timeless scenarios, realizing that we still use some of his sayings today. For example, "All's well that ends well" came from Shakespeare, as did "To thine own self be true." We read, we recited, we laughed, we argued our way through the entire semester, getting pretty good at understanding and appreciating both the characters that he wrote and the plot lines he put them through. My love for Shakespeare definitely started in that little classroom in the fall of 1995. For the last play of that semester, we tackled the play Hamlet, Shakespeare's longest and in many ways his most complex play. It's a tragedy concerning the confused and grieving young prince of Denmark, his troubled girlfriend, a conniving uncle who's claimed the throne after his brother's death, a misguided and perhaps unfaithful mother who has married the new king, her former brother-in-law. It's a soap opera. And with that, we studied all the harsh realities that can come from greed, desire for power, unrequited love, uncertainty, and grief. It was a heavy, heady read at the end of the semester, because Shakespeare, after all, wrote about what he experienced, and he wrote about what he knew. You see, Hamlet was written around the year 1599, and during the earlier part of that decade, England, along with much of Europe, was ravaged by a plague. The world, as Shakespeare knew it, went into a type of quarantine. If they were lucky, they lived. But a large percentage of Europe did not. The 1590s were a time of uncertainty, of fear, of frustration, sickness, death, and grief. And underscoring it all was huge political unrest as England's queen, Elizabeth I, neared the end of her life without an heir to take over her throne. Unfortunately, history repeats itself. And I cannot help but see the parallels between Shakespeare's 1590s England and our 2020s America. We too have been living in a time of sickness and death and uncertainty and in fear and a political rest. And we've been living with the grief that comes from any one of those things, let alone all of them happening all at once in a few short years' time. So, with the weight of the world on our shoulders, last Sunday, we took our heavy hearts, my roommate and I, we took those heavy hearts created by Minnesota's ongoing political unrest, and we decided to take in a movie. Because what better way is there to just forget about your stress and your worry and the weight of all than to immerse yourself into the big screen for 2 hours' time? So we got our popcorn and we got our treats and we got our drink and we were sitting there and we were ready. Except we went to the movie called Hamnet. Hamnet, named after William Shakespeare's real-life son, who died at age 11 in 1596, likely from the plague. And remember, since Shakespeare wrote what he knew, both the name Hamlet and all of Shakespeare's guilt and grief over losing his son made it to the stage in that play. Now, the movie called Hamnet portrays a fictional story of the Shakespeare family lives, as well as a portrayal of part of that famous play. through the final 20 minutes of the show, the actor Jesse Buckley gives such a powerful, moving portrayal of a mother's grief that at the end of the film, my roommate and I were both crying in earnest. And you guys, I am not a pretty crier. There was nothing dainty about it. We're talking blowing noses and everything. And the thing is, we were not alone. As the final credits rolled in the film, the theater was dead silent. Nobody moved. Nobody got up to leave. No one left until the final music finished, until the screen went black and the house lights came up. Nobody stirred. And if you've been to a movie recently, that's not usually the case. The credits start to roll, people grab their jackets, and out they go. But the powerful scene at the end had everyone sitting and absorbing and just living with it. Anyone who's lived with grief knows how easily it is to get caught up in somebody else's grief and to be shaken even by a powerful portrayal on a screen. Well, we went home from that not so uplifting 2 hours, and in an effort to shake off the lasting effects of that film, along with the still present effects of current events, I sat down and I began to read this week's readings for our sermon in church. I thought it would provide at least a little respite for my mind, maybe some uplifting moments. And Matthew's gospel helped a little with its reminder of Isaiah's prophecy, saying, "For those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined." And along with that, the words of David's psalm gave me some comfort, reminding me that God is our light. God is our protector. God gives us sanctuary. Still, though, the effects of what was happening in our state and the effects of that movie lingered with me. And I went to bed that night thinking and praying, "God, I don't feel very light right now, and I could really use some of that sanctuary I just read about." Now, often a good night's sleep will, you know, give me a new perspective in the morning, and I'll feel a little bit better after sleeping on it. But I woke up Monday morning feeling pretty much the same, just heavy. And as is my habit, I grabbed my phone, and I started scrolling through social media as my brain started its very slow process of waking. Purposely, I sped past news articles, knowing that reading anything heavy was not what I needed that morning. I was avoiding any potential bad news. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I was in God's sanctuary. That fast, that unexpected. For there was the cast of Hamnet that I had just seen the day before, dancing and laughing joyously on my little screen. You see, I had learned earlier in the week in researching the movie a little bit that the director of the film knew that her cast of all ages, kids to adults, could easily become bogged down as they worked through these deeply emotional, grief-laden scenes they were shooting for the film. And because she cared for their mental health, at the end of shooting every day, especially after very difficult scenes, she held a little dance party. Literally, she had quality speakers brought into every set, and she pumped out dance tunes, and everyone on the set, cast, crew, everybody, dropped what they were doing, and they danced it out. That's it. It was that simple. And as they danced, They started to smile, and then they started to laugh, and they started to interact with each other, and the emotional toil disappeared as everyone bounced and shimmied and smiled on their makeshift dance floor. My Instagram feed that gray Monday morning showed me that cast after they had shot that final scene of the movie, the one that had emotionally wrecked my roommate and I the day before. The pulse of the music and the sheer joy of hundreds of cast and crew dancing together and smiling was contagious. In spite of my dreary mood that I had woken with, I smiled. And then my foot started to tap. And as I watched it a second time, a little light bulb went off my brain, and I pulled up my Bible readings from the night before, and I reread Psalm 27, verses 5 and 6. For he will conceal me when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. With music. I had no good solutions for the things that were weighing on me on Monday morning. Yet God was offering me that sanctuary I had asked for the night before. He was giving it to me in music and in dancing. And I got up, and my workout that morning was 40 straight minutes of good music, and me bouncing and dancing like a fool in my basement. And as I ascended the stairs post-workout, I thought to myself, okay, Becky, keep an eye out for the dancing this week. Look for the music and things. And as I went through my week, I saw it. I saw that little uplift, that sanctuary. I saw it as an abducted little girl was found safe. And I saw it when thousands of clergy and other people from around the nation marched peacefully together in Minneapolis. I heard it in the positive voices of colleagues who took part in Minneapolis this week, relating their stories of love and goodwill and of people looking out for each other. I witnessed it in Hutchinson, where I live, as I saw post after post of community members looking out for their neighbors, keeping the heat on, making sure there were groceries. And yesterday, with the news of another shooting death of a protester, I had nothing that I could do except take to my basement again and dance it out. And then later, I danced in my kitchen again as I was fixing lunch. And then later than that, I danced with my dogs. My self-care this week has been all about the dance. And I am so very grateful that our God, who knows that I have always had a little rhythm in my soul, reminded me that that could be where I am in his sanctuary. So I end my ramblings on Shakespeare and Hamlet and Hamnet and injustice and in dance grooves today by asking you to keep our readings in mind as you go into your next week. Let God help you with your own version of singing and praising him with music. Now, I know we're not all dancers. So please wrap yourself in whatever self-care sanctuary you need so that you may be continuously the good and true people that God asks us to be. Maybe your sanctuary is stepping out in nature. Bundle up first. Maybe a well-prepared meal restores your soul. Maybe a good laugh is your soothing balm. Maybe time with a favorite book or an old movie. Maybe a phone call with a friend does it for you. or maybe a snuggle with your pups or your cats or your other animals, or maybe even one good, solid, oxytocin and serotonin-inducing hug will do it for you. Whatever it is that will help you carry the weight of your burdens this week, please do it. If you're not sure how, ask God to help you. God loves it when we ask. Take care of yourselves, and please provide the space and allowance for others to do the same. Pray constantly. And remember that Isaiah's prophecy holds strong for you too. All of us who are sitting in darkness and living in death's shadow will see great light again. Amen. The last thing I want to share during this message time today comes from a post off of social media written by a person called Paul Avellino. In a very human moment, he shared this. We were never meant to carry the weight of the entire world in our pockets. Endless headlines, endless footage. Suffering stacked on suffering with no space to breathe. Staying informed matters. Speaking up matters. Showing up matters. But burning yourself down in the process doesn't make the world kinder or safer. Rest is not ignorance. Stepping away is not apathy. It is how we stay human long enough to keep caring. Turn it off for a while if you need to. Go outside, sit with your people, touch something real, and then come back when your nervous system can hold it again. You're not failing the world by protecting your heart. Turn it off for a while. God needs you rested, steady, and human. Will you please turn to hymn 426 and sing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," with me. Heavenly God, as we enter into this time of prayer with you, please fill us with your Spirit. Lord, you know the prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds. We ask you to hold them for us. We offer them up to you. Lord, we start today with a prayer of joy and thanksgiving for Joel, who is recently out of the hospital in rehab. Lord, bless his recovery and his healing, and bless his family and friends as they heal along with him. We also ask for recovering and healing for Rich as he comes through the moments after his heart attack. Lord, bless his friends and family too, as they adjust to some changes in life and are reminded of the happiness of having him still around. And God, we lift up prayers for St. Paul's annual meeting today. Thank you for the leadership of those for the past year. Lord, we ask you to bless those who will step into leadership for the next year. We ask your blessing keep raining down on St. Paul's and for the people within it. Let it remain a house of wonder and of care and of worship. God, please keep all of us safe during this deep cold. Lord, please help provide heat, clothing, food, shelter for all of your people, for all of your creatures who are living in it. And God, we ask that you are guiding our political leaders. Lord, help them to soften. Help them to work across the aisles. Help them to protect and prosper the people they are serving. And Lord, please instill and fill them with the humanity that you desire. May they keep in mind decency and care as they work to govern our world. In the light of winter and current events, Lord, I ask that you send your blessing and healing and uplifting spirit for those struggling with mental health. Let people know they are not alone. Let them know that you meet them right where they are. God, we ask that you wrap the families and friends of Renee Good and Alex Preddy in your loving arms. Help them, keep them company in their time of grief. And finally, Lord, I ask that you bless all the clergy of our nation. Thank you for giving us the images of so many of them marching in peace and joy together this week in Minneapolis. Lord, I ask that you bless them as they rest and care for themselves as well as care for their congregations. And Lord, be with us now as we take a moment to offer up our own prayers within our hearts and our minds. We thank you, God, for your unending mercy and your grace and your company in our times of prayer. And we thank you, Jesus, for teaching us to pray the Lord's Prayer, which I ask all of you to pray with me now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our offering is at the back of the church for you to leave your offering as you see fit when you're entering and leaving. And will you please join in me singing the doxology number 815 in praise of the offerings that are coming in. Join in the offertory prayer in your bulletin. God of steadfast love, we pray that you will love the world through the monies we dedicate today. We pray that your work of transformation will be carried forward by our gifts. As a church, we seek to follow where Jesus leads. As individuals, we heed the call to discipleship. Bless our efforts fish for people, for their sakes, not our own. Amen. All right, just a reminder before we go into our closing hymn today. We do have the meeting after church. So just remember to grab your coffee and your snacks and then come sit in the front of the sanctuary. And before we get everything wrapped up today, can we thank Sandy for filling in for us on the organ this morning? Sandy, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, our closing hymn is going to be, we are number 602, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, as you go into the week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord's face turn toward you and give you peace. Amen.